Transformation is inevitable, but it doesn't have to take forever. What if you could see the obstacles before they happen, sidestep the common mistakes, and drive change faster than ever? That's exactly what we're here to do. Welcome to Transformation Unfiltered, the podcast where HR professionals share their stories about how they've hit fast forward on their transformation efforts and built legacies as world-class people leaders and change makers. And now, here's the show.
Criticism, and this is where I'll draw back on, say, some of my personal life as an artist and going through art education, but also in my love of like history and reading about successful leaders. And so first on the art side, I got used to in art school doing critiques. So we would, for a lot of people and a lot of artists, art is very like personal, it's an expression, it's we're laying our souls bare for everybody. And so by doing the critiques and getting other people's opinions and what they liked, what they would do different, did they agree with your theme, your color choice or composition, whatever, you got used to hearing about your work and talking about your work, not as something that was detached from you, but something that is consumed and interpreted by other people. So that's where I think it gave me a leg up in business, in that I started talking about the work and not being, while I was still personally attached to the work, it wasn't so precious and deeply personal that I couldn't talk about it. So that kind of helped there. In business, I think there's, if you're not getting criticism, if you're not talking through things, and again, it goes back to that, I have a lot of blind spots. I can only experience and do things from the mat perspective. I need those people that are looking at it. Sometimes people that don't have no idea what I'm doing, listening to what, if I can't explain why I'm doing something or can't give a good reason for it, then I have a gap. And if I'm not asking these questions, I'm missing critical pieces and I need those people. And then also reading into history, I loved Doris Kearns Goodwin's book, Team of Rivals. And it was about Lincoln and his cabinet and how he drew in everybody that disagreed with him, like really like political enemies, people that thought he was an idiot, people that just disagreed with him philosophically. He would make them part of his cabinet. And I think it's what made him a great leader, because he was aware of things from the doubters, from the critics. He could understand and really work through things and turned maybe not his cabinet into fans of his, but people that understood what he was thinking, what he was trying to do, and helped him move the country forward through some amazingly difficult times.
A hobby that started in childhood helped this leader form a unique mindset that actually gave him an edge when facing criticism during a high-stakes rollout. Wait until you hear how embracing his whole human experience transformed how he leads. Matthew Anderson has been with Rio Grande for 26 years, spending two decades in manufacturing operations before transitioning to lead human resources as director for the past 5 years. He is SHRM SCP certified, serves as director of workforce readiness for Central New Mexico SHRM chapter, and is a member of SHRM's executive network. Passionate about both people and processes, Matthew brings a unique perspective shaped by his cross-functional leadership journey. Outside of work, he's an artist and an art history enthusiast, always exploring the intersection of creativity and leadership. So welcome, Matthew.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. We're so glad to have you here today.
I appreciate being here.
I am really excited just to dive right into it. So let's just cut right to the chase and tell me, what was that thing along the way in your career that felt like one of those moments?
Yeah, it came when I became an HR director. I'd been spent most of my life in manufacturing operations and done that. And then I had this opportunity later in my career to become an HR professional and take over as HR director for Rio Grande. And my first big project was launching a performance management system. I knew from my previous work that I did a lot of due diligence, picking a vendor, did a lot of prepping, had a really strong project plan, had the resources I needed as far as IT and different places to help me put together a really good program. And I spent a few months on that process, keeping my customer, which is our executive directors, informed of what was going on, all that kind of stuff. And then it came time to launch. And I launched it, had this communication plan that I thought was solid, done all my homework, and launched it, and crickets. There was no response. And the big thing for me in doing this was getting adoption. I needed people to adopt this system. Yeah, it was a little heartbreaking and honestly a shock.
It sounds stressful. So I'm going to kind of recap. And in your shoes, as I put myself there, you're a new HR director. You have this big project launching a new performance management system, which many of our listeners have probably done before. They know it's no small thing. There's not only the system, but you have a lot of mindset changes to make and things like that. And you are the new guy. So you want to make sure that it goes off without a hitch. You did all the prep, you launched it, and then silence.
Yeah. Deafening silence.
The deafening silence. So tell me more. In that moment, what was going through your mind?
Of course, I went into this very self-critical mode of what did I do? What did I miss? How could this happen? I did all my homework, just all these things. And then I started, once I got over that initial panic and honestly, maybe a little bit of self-pity in doing that thing, I realized that there were some things, you know, that I could do to pull myself out of it. So I started thinking about, all right, what is it about the environment that has this not resonating with people? And I realized we had two or three other review performance management systems before, and we went through a review cycle and they fell away because it just wasn't getting adopted. It wasn't followed up on, and or it was overly complicated. So I realized, yes, this wasn't necessarily a direct reflection on my work and my ability, but it had to do with forces that I needed to work with and reconcile that were outside of my control, but that I could respond to in a positive way. And then also drew on my previous experience. Everything in my personal life is being an artist to, you know, all the things that I had done as far as launching different programs and different things in manufacturing, and realized where I had messed up was I didn't involve the skeptics, the cynics, the people that were less likely to adopt right away. And I didn't get their perspective, their questions, their concerns addressed in how I set this up, launched it, communicated it, and really addressed my blind spots. I'm such an optimist that I figure that, hey, we're doing this. It's cool. It's going to be fun. We're going to get all these great things. I've done the homework. We're working with a great tool. This fits in with our values as a company. Everything was there. What I didn't realize is that I was overly optimistic. I was doing too much. I was working with a larger audience. So I'd always worked with manufacturing and manufacturing groups that maybe 50 to 100 people. Now I'm working with the whole company of almost 400 people. And I hadn't considered that there were things that I wasn't seeing, where my optimism usually serves me really well, because I can be a heck of a cheerleader and provide all the reasons and benefits and inspiration for doing something. What I was missing was what really counted to those folks who had seen two or three cycles of this not working before and now needed to be convinced or know that we were committed, that we had done the homework, and that their feelings, concerns, and ideas were addressed in what we were putting forth.
You took me through a whole arc of how your brain was working from the moment that you rolled this out and it was crickets to the swirl and the initial panic. And then you even started to talk about how you brought yourself back into kind of a reality check moment and what you could really do from here. You had a lot of great aha moments. But before I dig into those with you, I do want to draw you back into that moment of swirl, because I know a lot of our audience members have been there. And I want to ask you, I won't keep you here too long because I don't want to torture anyone or you, but when it comes to that time when you were really feeling a little bit licking your wounds, kind of initial panic, that was all happening on the inside. What was happening on the outside? What did people notice about you while you were having that moment?
Yeah, that's a great question, and then gives you some insight into how I process and how I've used my previous experience to get me through these things, because it wasn't the first time that I've had something that didn't go as well as I expected. And really, going back to our company values and things that I really believe in, is that striving to maintain a positive attitude. And I don't mean that as just optimism for optimism's sake or just being nice. It's about, how do we fix this? How do we get there? So while I did have that moment of panic and maybe a day or so of what happened, why didn't this work? It's my responsibility as a leader, because I have influence over my team and others and my peers, that I have to remain positive. That yes, this is a stumble, but I also, something I just thought of is, there's also part of launching into a project, launching into any new kind of initiative, is that if you're clear that there are going to be bumps, or there are going to be things that we haven't anticipated, that even with the best of preparation, we're probably 80% there when we launch. That way, when these bumps come up, they're not debilitating. They become just, we expected that. And knowing that, this is how we're gonna move forward.
I love that. I think what I'm hearing is that in that very brief moment where you were wondering, why is it so quiet around here? Is it me? What is it? You were able to draw on a value that you share with your company, which is to focus on the possibilities, the positive. And that was really powerful for you to regroup, really to dig into your values so that you could quiet the noise that was maybe distracting. Is that right?
Exactly right. And it got me out of that place of feeling maybe like a victim, or that things were really out of my control, and realizing, no, Matt, you have agency, control, influence in this situation. You just have to use your creativity and your ability to take criticism and just flip the script.
That's amazing. You also touched on a pretty big word that has a very visceral thing for me, which is criticism. How did you start to navigate a space where you're wanting to make a great impression, wanting the go live to go smoothly, and you're faced with criticism? How did that show up for you, and how did you work with that?
Criticism, and this is where I'll draw back on, say, some of my personal life as an artist and going through art education, but also in my love of like history and reading about successful leaders. And so first on the art side, I got used to in art school doing critiques. So we would, for a lot of people and a lot of artists, art is very like personal. It's an expression. It's, we're laying our souls bare for everybody. And so by doing the critiques and getting other people's opinions and what they liked, what they would do different, did they agree with your theme, your color choice or composition, whatever, you got used to hearing about your work and talking about your work, not as something that was detached from you, but something that is consumed and interpreted by other people. So that's where I think it gave me a leg up in business, in that I started talking about the work and not being, while I was still personally attached to the work, it wasn't so precious and deeply personal that I couldn't talk about it. So that kind of helped there. In business, I think there's, if you're not getting criticism, if you're not talking through things, and again, it goes back to that, I have a lot of blind spots. I can only experience and do things from the mat perspective. I need those people that are looking at it. Sometimes people that don't have no idea what I'm doing, listening to what, if I can't explain why I'm doing something or can't give a good reason for it, then I have a gap. And if I'm not asking these questions, I'm missing critical pieces, and I need those people. And then also reading into history, I loved Doris Kearns Goodwin's book, Team of Rivals. And it was about Lincoln and his cabinet and how he drew in everybody that disagreed with him, like really like political enemies, people that thought he was an idiot, people that just disagreed with him philosophically. He would make them part of his cabinet. And I think it's what made him a great leader, because he was aware of things from the doubters, from the critics. He could understand and really work through things and turned maybe not his cabinet into fans of his, but people that understood what he was thinking, what he was trying to do, and helped him move the country forward through some amazingly difficult times.
Are you enjoying the conversation? There are more game-changing insights still ahead. If you're passionate about driving transformation and want to stay ahead of the curve, join our Accelerated Transformation community. Send us a quick message on LinkedIn or via email and we'll send you an invite. Now, let's get back to the show.
I love that you brought in three really important parts of who you are to this. And it strikes me that in order to take criticism and hear the naysayers with an open heart, you have to not be so tied to the work and think that's who I am, that's me out there. So while the work is still important and you've put a lot of yourself into it, you have to separate a little bit, it sounds, yeah, while still holding it dearly. Is that right?
Yeah, and appreciate other people and other people's perspectives, that they're not criticizing, or everybody wants to do their best. They want things to succeed. And the more you involve them, the more they appreciate that. And I now have those people that even if I'm going to just communicate something to the entire environment, I'll run it by some of these folks that I know are, they just think differently than me. And that just helps me better prepare for every situation.
Such an important thing is we're moving into kind of what you learned along the way. And it seems like we fast forwarded a little bit when you had some blind spots. And now we're talking a little bit about, with Lincoln as a role model, so to speak, being brave and vulnerable enough to surround yourself with people that have a different point of view than you. That seems interesting for these times.
It really is. And I the relationship I have now with these folks around the company has really improved our relationship and built some trust where there's things that I can say or do or insist on as the HR director. Now I have folks that feel free to give me that feedback, will come to me, will seek out a discussion before they resist or before a deadline is passed, and will come to me and I'm like, oh, that's a good point. Let me communicate that. Let me circle back around to include that in what I'm doing. So it's really helped. And maybe I wouldn't say it's so much the team of rivals thing, because it's not as, say, politically charged as what Lincoln was dealing with. But I do have this team of, they've almost turned into like advocates and champions around the business that know that and can share, even if they don't completely understand what's going on or how this is going to impact, they know that, again, I consider their input, I consider their feedback, and I will incorporate it to the best of my ability into what's going on.
And it sounds like that really builds trust. You took what you've done so far as an artist, you surrounded yourself and made yourself open to input from people that have different points of view and sometimes maybe very divergent points of view. And you went from having a rollout that was marked by crickets to one where people are coming to you proactively to talk and say, hey, think about this, think about that. How has that supported your career as you've moved forward in it?
It's in a couple of ways. First of all, it's removed a lot of the stress on, because I'm not trying to plow through things or anticipate all the issues or problems. I can go with a draft of something and put it out there and say, all right, this is what I'm thinking. This is why I'm moving this forward. These are the business reasons for it. Use your superpower to help me figure out what I'm missing here. Where are the holes? Where are the gaps? And now when I launch things, they go much better. So for example, we just did our associate engagement survey in about last month. And now we're in like the review and action planning phase. But I was able to achieve a 90% response rate to an engagement survey. And that's just from everything I've heard, that's not usual. But because I think of building these relationships across the company, So with leadership, with associates, and really sharing a goal with them, not saying it's my goal to get that kind of response, but it's our goal that your voice matters, and really following up and letting people know how we're going to follow up on their feedback. And then going through this actual action planning is really, it invited people to participate and want to participate and knew that their voices were going to be heard.
Yeah, and the invitation to have people get their fingerprints on something when you walk in without something that's maybe 100%, maybe you're at 80%, and you leave it to a point where you can balance your expertise with the input of others, which is really powerful. And it really showed through in your results, it sounds like. It sounds like by behaving in this way, creating this pathway for conversation and input, you've built trust that's led to engagement that shows in the numbers. 90% is an incredible engagement response rate.
Yeah, no, I was blown away and so happy. And it's encouraging me to do even more of that exploration and planting the seeds along the way. So even before something's implemented, like letting people know, hey, we're doing this and here's some exciting things to think about as we're moving forward. So they're involved in the journey. It's not something that just pops up from HR. It's something, oh no, Matt's been talking about this for months. And this is, we're leading towards something. So I try to invite some of that and do office hours and walk people through how to interact with our engagement, our performance management system, and get them in there and answer their questions and walk them through the process so that I can also see, because maybe some people aren't as adept at articulating exactly what's going on and why they're resistant or what their fears are or concerns. But when I sit there with them and say, all right, these are the steps to prepare for your one-on-one or put in your goals, I can start working through, and it just prepares me better for the next time and for future communication, what kind of gaps I need to fill.
What I really appreciate about what you just said is not everyone knows how to articulate what's on their mind. And what you've learned to do over the years is to create space for those people and not approach everybody from the same angle. You might sit with somebody and explain something a couple times to one person. Another person says, I got it. I don't want to hear it anymore.
Right.
So it sounds a lot like you've adapted and appreciated difference, not only when it comes to the building, but also when it comes to engaging and bringing people along for the ride.
Because that's really one thing that I try to remember is that, yes, this is my project. This is something that I'm accountable for as a successful business that moves us towards achieving our business strategy and having engaged, goal-focused, improving associates. But really, it's for the associates. It's for them to use. And until I let go of my ego in that process and draw them in and show them the benefit and demonstrate that benefit, it really doesn't matter. The other stuff, I can do a lot of raw cheering and explaining, but until it really makes a difference for somebody and they're seeing that result, that's what's really going to keep this going, not just for that initial adoption, but that it continues over the years.
One of the questions I get a lot of times when I'm working with folks that are leading big initiatives, not everybody in the world reports to you and you can't make people do things, you can't make people want something, is how do you handle your toughest folks? I'm thinking, one thing you said, the rivals around Lincoln's table, in your case, they weren't always rivals, but they did become advocates and champions. How do you engage with someone that is maybe one of your tougher customers? What does that look like in your world?
So I rarely write email. I'm one of those people that loves to get up and talk to people. First of all, I don't like having to maintain my own email box, so I don't want to add to anybody else's email box. But also, that's one of my gifts is to actually just sit and talk with people. And I really let them tell me, you know, why isn't this worth your time? Because that's what I get a lot, is this isn't worth my time. Nothing ever comes of this. Or there's folks that just don't feel very comfortable with technology, with learning something new. So when I am able to hear what they have to say, address their concerns, let them know that I'm going to incorporate what they have to say into future communication or future development of a tool or a process. And then also in those office hours, sit down with folks and actually walk them through the steps in the system and show them. I don't discount that it's intimidating for them. What I do is just walk them through the steps and show them that this really is no more than three steps. There's buttons and places to go. And then I let them walk away with a one pager that shows them how to do it next time.
So but I'm practical. Always,
and I end every communication with, if you'd like to go through this with me, please let me know. This is my highest priority. Let me know how I can help.
I love it. When you think about bringing those tough ones along for the ride, what I hear is you have a pattern of not just emailing, not just telling, but you are in it with people. You're right there.
Yep.
You're present. And that presence is not just you talking at them or trying to tell them why they're wrong about not liking this. You're hearing them. You're asking what's up. And then you let them talk.
Yeah. My response to everything, and I learned this really deeply in HR, is my first question is always, tell me more. Because yes, people will be very frustrated about a specific situation or something. And again, back to being able to clearly articulate where your frustration or concerns are isn't always easy. So I open them up, letting me know exactly what their concerns, what their ideas are.
When you think about your kind of trajectory from that early moment as the HR director to now, I'm sure you've learned a lot of things and have probably a wealth of advice. So imagine you're sitting with somebody that's 15 years earlier in their career than we are. What advice would you have for them?
I really think even if it's one person or a couple people, but seek out people who think and process differently than you. So if you're a pessimist, find an optimist. If you're a very analytical thinker, find a feeling or emotional person that thinks more from their emotions. Just find that foil or that opposite of you and really develop and appreciate and leverage that relationship or those relationships, because it's going to reduce your stress. It's going to help you come up with better, more well-rounded solutions and help things land better than they could if you just tried to muscle through and do everything based on your experience, your perspective, your knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, in this society of echo chambers where we're reinforcing the same ideas over and over again with social media, I think that's a really powerful message. Find someone with a different point of view, and it will actually relieve your stress. It will help you to get a better solution. It's pretty crazy advice at this day and age, but I think it's really powerful. And I'm excited that it's really, you've shown through your example how powerful it can be.
Yeah, it's been career changing. And also just personally, I feel like I've entered this new world of possibility because after embracing that.
I think that the possibilities abound when you have a mindset like yours and you lead with openness to everybody, not just the people that think like you. So I know a lot of people will want to reach out to you, find out more about the work that you do and how you made this all happen. Where can people find you, Matt?
You can find me on LinkedIn.
I love that you've brought your whole human self to your leadership. You're an artist. You have a dog. You talked about some other things that were uniquely you. Would you mind expanding on a little bit more about the art that you do? I'm an artist as well and also have three dogs. So, you know, personally, I want to know, but I think it's really important to shed light on the fact that you as a whole person are stronger as a leader because you bring those experiences.
Yeah. So art started very early for me in that I had friends of my mother's that were very supportive. Like I would get, they'd bring me paper and colored pencils and crayons and paints and just encourage me. And they were artists themselves. And so would show me what they were doing and give me peeks into their process. Started drawing and very fortunately never had that experience that some kids, oh, that's nice, but what are you going to do for a living? I never had that experience. So was able to got into college and through no one else's pressure had that same idea that I need to find something that I can make a living at, and went into college, spent 3 years taking all the classes, all the prerequisites, and was also working like two or three part-time jobs, events and at a restaurant and doing different things, and finally ended up wasn't finding my place in college. And a couple of years later, actually quite a few years later, the university that I went to had a graduation project and said, hey, you want to come back? You're pretty close. So night school will really help. And that's where I needed, I guess, a relief or an outlet for that creative toxicity that was building up in me that I wasn't releasing. So I decided, hey, if I get to choose now what I want to do, I'm going to go for art. And so took art studio classes and really just had a good time releasing all of that, meeting with other creative people, spending that time and getting that release. And did that, got into my career here at Rio, did some drawings and a couple paintings here and there. And then about 5-6 years ago, woke up almost like in a cold sweat and like I had all these ideas for these robots and like little creatures that I would paint. And they were expressions of something deep inside me that kind of went back to that childhood joy and creativity and simplicity. Because I thought being an artist, you had to be able to do Gauguin and Picasso, and you had to have this really sophisticated idea of what you were doing. And I'm like, no, I just want to express and make things that are cool and happy and look different than what other people are doing. So I started doing these robots and it just really exploded from there. And so came into doing t-shirts and having showings at different places and just, yeah, really exciting time for me and something that is starting to pick up again for me. Yeah, really exciting.
I just can't wait to go check it out. And just listening to you talk about your journey, it's a different kind of journey and it all worked out, especially when you gave yourself permission to be fully you, even if that wasn't, it was different. So right. Difference is the theme of this show. And I'm so glad it is because you've brought so much richness to our conversation. You know, what really stands out to me from everything we've talked about is how if you give yourself permission to let go of your ego, still have passion and look for the possibilities, when you bring people into the fold who have different ideas, then you get to something so much better. And it's not only good for the product, but it's good for you because you relieve stress. You find ways to express your superpowers while they express theirs. And then people are engaged. It creates kind of a ripple effect that you're never going to have a cricket-like rollout ever again, I have a feeling, right? Because you've created something in your culture because of the actions that you took. So thanks everyone for listening today to Transformation Unfiltered. If you liked this episode, please come and listen to some more. Give us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast player and tune in next time where we'll have another senior leader share with us what they might have screwed up, but more importantly, how it helped them accelerate their career, their workplace, and maybe even make a pretty big difference to some other people, just like Matt has.
Thank you for hanging out with us and listening to Transformation Unfiltered. If you found today's conversation valuable, leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast player. It helps us reach more changemakers just like you. Do you know someone who would be great as a guest on our show? Send us a message on LinkedIn or drop us an email. We'd love to hear your recommendation and appreciate the connection. See you next week for another episode featuring an HR leader just like you who's hitting fast forward on change, impact, and transformation.